Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW in the Seattle area, rainy Seattle, WBLQ in Connecticut, Rhode Island in New York, Cable Radio Network, and of course, Transformation Talk Radio. I'm here today with another not Benny. It is Eric with me in the studio today. Hello, Eric.
Hey, good morning.
Nice to see you here.
It's a pleasure to see you as well.
You know, normally I see you sort of at the end, the changing of the guard, mm-hmm. and this is the first time you've been, you know, doing your magic during my show. So it's so nice to have you here.
Yeah, it'll be nice to hear the show from the beginning.
Yeah. So anyway, you know, it's funny because from my perspective, things in our life are all about connection in one way or another. It's either connection with ourselves or connection with others. And I always have a great time, you know, preparing for my shows, reading people's books, you know, listening to their music, doing research about, you know, their lives. And invariably, I find some connection I never expected. And today is it's the same way. There was this connection. It's like this big aha. I was like, oh, my goodness. My guest today played a very significant role in my life, and we've never even met. My guest today is a musician, a wonderful musician. He is a Grammy-nominated pianist. He's been playing the piano for many, many years, and he says it's his greatest form of self-expression. He had solo recordings such as Cristofori's Dream that really, like, reached millions of people. It was the landmark number one on the Billboard First Adult Alternative New Age chart for 27 weeks, and eventually it sold platinum. He's released over 20 recordings and sold over, get this, 5 million records worldwide. Hal Leonard, which is American's largest music publisher, has released over a dozen songbooks of his music, and it's a huge bestseller. So there are people all over the world learning his piano music. David created an instructional piano video called Through the Hands of David Lanz, and his latest release is Painting the Sun, and I'd like to welcome musician David Lanz.
Christine, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty well, thanks. I understand that you are a Seattle native, but you've actually flown the coop.
I have, and I just want to, I have so many records out, it's confusing. My latest record, which came out on Tuesday, is called Movements of the Heart.
Oh, that's right. So yeah, okay.
It came out on the same label. I'm sure you probably saw that Painting the Sun was released by the same label. But this is a brand new release, and I'm very excited about it. And yes, I did fly the coop for love, uh-huh. and I'm now living in upstate New York.
Oh, that's wonderful. And we are going to talk about love and how it relates to, you know, the creative musical journey. But first, I want to tell you a little bit about my journey. Now, this is a story that I have never shared with you, and I'm sharing it with the listeners for the first time. Now, people who've listened to my show for many months, know that many years ago, I faced cancer. Now, doctors had nothing to offer me. They said early treatment's not helpful. In fact, we think it may shorten a person's lifespan. And here's the deal. You know, when it gets to be bad enough, we will put you on chemo and keep you on chemo the rest of your life. And so there I was, kind of flung into the abyss, like searching for a way out. And that's when I kind of shifted to look within about the underlying cause and did all sorts of things on my journey. Now, one of the things I did was I decided I was going to record some meditations that Bernie Siegel, author of Love, Medicine, Miracles, had written in his book. And I was going to record them in my own voice so that I could do them every day. And I chose 4 or 5 songs from Narada collections that were just ones that just sort of touched me deeply. And as it turns out, two of the five were songs that you had written and played. So,
oh, sweet.
Yeah, so there was your music, an integral part of my healing journey. And as people know, I ended up healing myself without any medical treatment, and it began my journey in a different direction. I went from statistician to healer and teacher and, you know, shifted my journey in a multitude of ways. But I want to thank you for, you know, doing that. And I'd love to play the song that was the intro to my meditation. It's called Behind the Waterfall that you did with Paul Spear. And I think we're pulling that up right now. That was the beginning of Behind the Waterfall by David Lanz and Paul Spear. Now, David, you know what? I remember when I was doing my meditation, it was like that music that you two had created sort of put me in this space of allowing, if you will. It allowed me to face my fears, to face my grief, and also to begin to face some of my worthiness issues, and then gently open me to receiving that love that we all are deserving of and that is within. And so it began my transformational journey on a daily basis that helped me to heal my cancer, and I want to thank you for that.
That's so nice, Christine, and I appreciate you sharing that. Other people have, you know, said that my music has healed them, and I try to point out to folks that I never make any claims, but right. What I realize is that music is one of the tools that helps to put us in a frame of mind, like you were just saying, that allows us to tap into our own healing abilities, which I believe we all have.
Right.
So it really, a lot of times it isn't even the medicine or it isn't the music. It isn't anything. It's just whatever it is becomes a way for the person to kind of sometimes shift their belief system and realize that they have so much power. Each of us really has this amazing power that we kind of give our power away sometimes to doctors and to other people's, you know, and just whatever beliefs we've grown up with. But if we can make a shift, and sometimes when you're faced with your own mortality, it's a good time to wake up,
right.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
But that's great, and it's so nice to know that you know, my music has played that role in your life. So thanks for that.
You're welcome. Thank you. And, you know, your music has touched millions and millions of lives. And, you know, I know that for many of us, we come here, you know, incarnate onto this planet with a mission, and I suspect you began your musical journey very early in life. How old were you when you put your hands to piano?
I was about 4 and a half.
Uh-huh. Right.
So I have my dear mother to thank. She used to play the piano, well, she still does. And both my mom and my grandmother, her mom, had played the piano, and there was always a piano pretty much wherever I went when I was a small kid, and I was always on it asking questions. So she got me right off to piano lessons, and what really got me excited as a kid was my mom played Boogie Woogie.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was a little shocked when I had to study the Dead Guys, you know.
Yeah, I studied them too, yes. They're very different.
Yeah. But I love their music now. I kind of, you know, as I got older, I grew to appreciate what they did,
uh-huh.
Especially, you know, Beethoven. I'm a big fan of, but I never really studied the master's music. And by the time I was 12, I had fired my piano teacher and I was on my own. I kind of started composing by the time I was 10. And
wow.
So I'm pretty sure I came in wired up to do what I'm doing, you know, because as soon as I shifted into strictly doing my own kind of, well, you know, what people want to call New Age.
Sure.
I've been playing this style of music, you know, probably since the 70s, not the 1870s, the 1970s. And it's been, and as I kind of, you know what happened to me, Christine, is I got to a point in my life where I kind of asked one question, you know, what does the world need from me?
Oh, wow.
You know, and the answer, I was expecting it to say, well, you know, you can be a great jazz musician or you could be a great, you know, be a pop star. Because I had all these aspirations about, you know, doing music that was much more flamboyant. And the answer came back, the world needs to be healed. And it was kind of a surprising answer. And I feel, you know, if you ask a question, your higher mind or your soul will give you an answer almost immediately. But most of us miss that because it's kind of a quiet answer and it happens so quickly. And I think sometimes what the thing that seems so obvious to us, we think, well, no, that can't be it. It's too easy.
Right. Life's supposed to be a struggle. We're supposed to have to work hard.
All that kind of stuff. And, you know, there's some value in working hard. And sometimes it is a struggle. But when you kind of get in the flow and you kind of start to open up to who you really are and what you can contribute, you know, man, life can really change for you. It certainly did for me because I kind of struggled and played nightclubs for years.
Sure.
Played all kinds of music that I didn't really dig. And you know, it was all kind of a good training ground for who I am now. But yeah, that's kind of a bit of, you know, how I got started in all this.
Yeah, and the world is so grateful that you actually chose to listen to that inner voice and take that path. And we're going to have to go on a short break here, but going into break, what I'd like to play is the other one of your earliest songs that was such a huge hit and was also on my little recording to help me to heal myself. It's Cristofori's Dream. Now, David, first of all, can you tell our listeners who Cristofori was and why you named the song that?
Yeah. Bartolomeo Cristofori, invented the piano. And I never realized that fact until I was kind of in my early 30s, and it was a shock to me I just really never stopping to think that someone actually invented this instrument that I was basically living my life around, you know. And when I found that information, I decided I needed to do something. So out of gratitude, in fact, the title popped right into my head when I read his name for the first time. So this is the inventor of the piano. And I kind of, you know, my jaw kind of hit the ground. And went, whoa. And I kind of thought, well, his name was so magical. It sounded like, you know, I thought it was like Christ Euphoria.
So, yes.
Cristofori. So that was it. It's a song that is more popular today than it was when I wrote it 25 years ago, I'm happy to say.
And it's a beautiful song. And here it is. More with David Lanz when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
This is Peggy Snow, practitioner at Stellar Reflections, with a Stellar Reflections Minute. So many people these days are trying to find ways to relieve their stress. What happens to our breathing when we're feeling overwhelm and stress? When we tune in, we realize that we're either holding our breath or taking very shallow breath to signal the body that all is well, which most of the time it is. Sometimes all that is needed is a nice, deep breath to break the cycle. First, exhale to get all the stale air out by engaging the abdominal muscles and blowing gently. Next, take a nice full breath in, feeling it fill your body all the way down to your hips. Release fully and enjoy the freedom of movement. Notice how your body feels. Do you feel refreshed? Calmness is only a breath away. This has been a Stellar Reflections Minute. For more information about what we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Are you feeling stuck? Do you want to be free from fears and doubts and finally feel good about yourself, but you just don't know how to get there? Dr. Schaub's Accelerated Breakthrough Program provides you with the tools and solutions to go beyond your limitations and achieve self-empowered confidence. Call for your free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. Visit CellularWisdom.com. That's CellularWisdom.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
The Tick-Borne Disease Alliance, TBDA, has just launched Bite Back for a Cure, a new national grassroots campaign to build support for the fight against tick-borne diseases. This fall, 24-year-old John Donnelly is biking across America to meet others affected by tick-borne diseases and raise awareness about the national tick-borne disease epidemic. TBDA wants you to get involved in the campaign and follow John's journey. To learn more, visit bitebackforacure.org.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. You're listening to the beautiful music of David Lanz, and I'm here talking to David. Now, David, your career has spanned several decades, and you've reached millions and millions of lives with your music. Now, you know, you talked about sort of being inspired and going your own path, you know, as a child, but And you also talked about choosing the direction based on the inner voice of creating music that heals people. Can you tell us a little bit about your creative process, how you open up to allow that music to come through you so that you can help others to heal and to grow in new ways?
Well, you know, part of it, Christine, is, I guess, my training. And when I say training, I wasn't trained to be so much a musician or a songwriter. My training really was just the fact that I loved music so much that I started to write songs at a very early age. So I wrote hundreds and hundreds of songs before I got to the point where I actually was writing the kind of music that people know me for.
Uh-huh.
So part of it was I gave myself, and by doing that, by doing repetition and being disciplined, in a way you give yourself mental permission. So it's like, oh, yeah, it's okay to be creative, you know.
Right.
A lot of us are afraid to be creative. We say, well, we're afraid to make a mistake or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Well, what I tell when I do these workshops around the country, I tell these young composers, you know, you got to put a lot of compost in the garden to get the flowers to grow, you know.
Oh, wonderful analogy.
So,
yeah.
So the good news is most of those songs I wrote early on, most people never heard, but it was part of the process of just doing it, and if you talk to an author, a lot of times they'll tell you that they write every day. You know,
uh-huh.
They sit and they'll sit down and they'll do their 30 minutes or half an hour. So part of it, again, was, you know, mental permission. And then as I got into my early 30s, even my late 20s, I started to get way more introspective. And that was back in the day, I don't know if you remember, a woman named Jane Roberts. She wrote some books called
The Seth Speaks
and Nature of Personal Reality. And so I was real excited about reading about that information. So I kind of started on a journey of opening myself up to listening, you know, reading some of the channel material.
Right.
I got very involved in Paramahansa Yogananda's work.
Right.
Autobiography of a Yogi started me off on that. And then I found out that George Harrison was a big fan of Yogananda, so that made me feel good, because I always wanted to be in their group.
Right.
So I kind of tapped into the Ascended Master's work, you know, Saint Germain, and of course, you know, Jesus is all right with me, and Buddha, and so I started to study, you know, this information, and I really asked for my highest good, for the highest good to come through in my music. So mm-hmm. I've slowly over time opened myself up to a kind of a, you know, to channel myself, to channel my higher self. And I ask for the highest good in my music when I write it and when I record it and when I perform. So that attitude, I guess what I'm saying is my attitude started to shift. So I had the training, I had this, all the experience of playing and writing music.
Sure.
And then I opened myself up and asked, you know, for the highest good in my music. So the creative thing is just, I don't know, it just seems, I don't really know. I just sit down and I can just sit down and write a song like now, you know. Uh-huh. It's become so comfortable to me. It's like a language. It's my own, you know, music is a language, obviously.
Oh, absolutely.
And you know, the fact that I can compose music in that language, it translates to pretty much to anyone that has ears. They mm-hmm. don't have to speak English
right.
to understand the music that I do. So,
mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, the other thing is people always ask about the creative process, and it really is a mystery. You can't really teach someone how to be creative. They have to, it's really part of it is a matter of faith. And letting go, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And not being so judgmental about what you do. Because we're, you know, when it gets down to it, we're all our own worst critics.
Absolutely.
So you might write something beautiful or paint something amazing, but you'll look at it and you'll see all the flaws in it. And, mm-hmm. you know, you may never show it to anyone. And, you know, it says in the Bible, don't hide your light under a bushel or whatever, something like that.
Right, right.
So that's true. It's a lot of it is a matter of just having the faith to, you know, open and allow whatever you do to be seen and enjoyed.
Yeah.
And
I love the way you were talking about how the those things that are the compost, so to speak,
yeah,
are just a part of the process. And so if you view it that way, it helps us to release some judgment because we are our own worst critics. And you know, I think that there are many people who get to a certain age and say, you know, they go from thinking that they can do anything and be anything to, well, I can't paint or I can't play
right.
music or whatever. It's like that fear of the judgment from others and fear of the self-judgment keeps us from just allowing. And so that's beautiful thinking in terms of the mistakes or the less than the stellar is absolutely a part of the perfect creation.
Yeah, our damn ego always gets in the way, you know, and it always wants to shut us down and tell us, you know, that we're not good enough and
yeah.
or whatever voices. Sometimes we get those voices from teachers and parents early on, you
sure.
know, and you know, you have to kind of, it's a process of just becoming conscious of the voices in your head. And if they come from a point of fear, they're not real, you know,
right.
It's only the voices that come out of love that really are the ones you need to listen to, you know.
But don't you think a person's process facing that inner fear, the inner judgment, is actually an important part of opening to becoming more?
Yeah, definitely. It's yeah, and that's love telling you to turn and face the fear.
Uh-huh.
And you know, it isn't, fear never really gets you anywhere. You know, I mean, sometimes there's a certain amount of fear that comes up for our survival. It's
sure.
important to, but we're not talking about survival. We're talking about, you know, some sort of inner process and that, but no, absolutely. I think the journey or the process really is about facing your fears and, you know, trying to incorporate your faith in something other than, you know, whatever your little ego is trying to take the pins out from under you, you know?
Sure. Sure. So you talked about this process that you open to within the context of, you know, writing and playing your music. Are there other aspects of your life where you feel the same kind of energetic flow, the same kind of process?
I think it's important in all our relationships, you know. You know, when you're interacting with someone, whether it's, you know, in an intimate relationship or
uh-huh.
even on a day-to-day basis, you know, I kind of have a philosophy that every time I'm meeting someone, it's like I'm meeting Jesus or Buddha.
Right.
You know, even though, you know, I read something where it says, only a master can create the illusion that they're not a master. And only a master can convince himself that they're not, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so in that way, you can, when you meet someone, you know, instead of letting them rub you the wrong way, you can just kind of take another breath. And and it's kind of a, you know, in a way, it's kind of opening up to something other than judgment, you know, in,
right.
at least in those moments. And so that can be kind of creative as well.
And I think that, you know, when somebody does rub us the wrong way, it's important information for us, either something relating to our own woundedness or
right.
Our own, like, judgmental perspective. And so we can meet somebody who rubs us the wrong way and have two different kinds of reactions, from this person annoys the heck out of me to, oh, my goodness, can you imagine being that person and feeling like that and have some compassion
yeah.
for them?
I think ultimately if someone does bother you, it's only because there's something about them that reminds you of something that you do.
Right.
Or some aspect that you have, some bad habit that you have. And all they're doing is holding a mirror up, and you don't like what you see. So.
Yeah, those darn mirrors. We
yeah,
get them
right.
left and right, don't we? Yeah,
yeah, we do.
Okay, well, we've got to go to another short break. But when we return, more with David Lawns on the Christine Upchurch Show. If you are looking for that one-of-a-kind store, then you should check out one of my favorite places, a wonderful shop called Utopia. At Utopia, you'll find a wide array of beautiful and unique jewelry, home accessories, and gifts made by artisans here in the Northwest at affordable prices. Escape the ordinary and find your way to Utopia in Redmond Town Center, open 7 days a week, and online at utopianorthwest.com. That's utopianorthwest.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you feeling stuck? Do you want to be free from fears and doubts and finally feel good about yourself, but you just don't know how to get there? Dr. Schaub's Accelerated Breakthrough Program provides you with the tools and solutions to go beyond your limitations and achieve self-empowered confidence. Call for your free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. Visit cellularwisdom.com. That's cellularwisdom.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. As a former research statistician, my scientific background is what many would call sensible. For more than a decade now, I have been working in the field of energy medicine, facilitating sessions and teaching around the world. People from the mainstream often ask me, how did a sensible woman like you end up working in such an alternative field? Implicit in their question is the underlying assumption that the field of subtle energy, such as energy healing and intuition, isn't sensible. But I believe it is very sensible. Even scientists are able to measure aspects of this. Approaching life from an energetic perspective brings us new opportunity for healing and transformation. And from a practical standpoint, even if you can't rationally explain how something works, if you experience a shift from it, then doesn't it make it pretty sensible? Please visit stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
If you want to write a book, find your soulmate, change careers, Saskia helps her clients to reinvent their lives through her breakthrough program, 7 Gifts to Unlock Your Breakthrough Miracle.
The daily support, the guided meditation, the powerful exercises designed of the 7 Gifts to Unlock Your Miracle to expand awareness helped me to consciously create the life I want for myself and my family.
You'll learn her proven secrets to unlock your miracle in just 7 days.
Each day, I look forward to discovering what new technique or tool Saskia will offer us in order to find our highest purpose. We don't stop there, though. It feels that daily I'm held accountable for my goals, my dreams, to live a healthy and happy life. Right now, I have renewed energy to write my book, writing my first chapter after only 5 days in this program.
Visit BreakthroughMiracle.com to receive your free 7 gifts to unlock your miracle, or to schedule a free breakthrough session with Saskia, call 978-302-0861. That's 978-302-0861.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, CRN, WBLQ, and of course, Transformation Talk Radio. I'm talking today with musician David Lanz, and we were listening to his music going in and out of breaks. Beautiful music. Now, David, your latest album is fairly romantic. It's full of beautiful music that sort of gets us into that inspirational, flowing ease, is the way I like to think of it. What was your inspiration for the creation of this new album?
Well, I went through some, some personal challenges in my relationship, and actually in a process of, being divorced, and then in all of that, I was doing lots and lots of meditation. I was talking about Tom Kenyon to you on the break, and
sure,
some of his meditation, and I started to, let go of some things that had been part of my, just stuck in my aura.
Sure.
And then over a period of a couple of years, I met this other woman, and we've created a beautiful relationship through music and through love. So, in fact, the song you were playing at the break is called Love's Return.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a song, the first song that I wrote after our love started to flower, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a number of pieces of music on the album, and then the whole entire recording process was steeped in this relationship, which at first was long distance, and now we're living together. But so I really feel, and people, the reviews are really reflecting that. People are really picking up on the romance.
Uh-huh.
And the and it's really, for me, romance is great, but it for a love relationship, there has to be a really strong spiritual bond.
Yes.
Attached to it, and that's what's going on now with myself and Christine. And so, in fact, the whole album is dedicated to her. I don't think I've ever really done that, but it really felt like the right thing to do, because I can't separate myself out of the music without having her as a part of it and that relationship. So,
David, you talk about how it's steeped in love. How do you define love?
How do you define love? Isn't
mm-hmm.
that a great question? Well, if it's at some point I've heard you basically can break everything, every emotion down into either love or fear.
Mm-hmm.
I guess fear within fear, you can come up with jealousy and hatred and you can come, envy and all those things.
Uh-huh. And control.
And in control, right. So I guess love would be, letting go and opening up and we all know we're in love, don't we?
Oh, we do. We absolutely know when we feel it. Yes.
Yeah. And because there's a lot of chemical changes that happen in the body and in the mind too. When you meet someone that you really, really resonate with. I don't know. That's a great question. How do you know when you're in love?
Yeah.
I guess you know when you're not in love.
Although, I think that sometimes people have a hard time with that. They try to convince themselves that they are. And they figure, well, it works because, and fill in the blank, but they don't really feel seen, heard, accepted, which seems like a really essential part.
Yeah, I think that happens maybe in a lot of our long-term relationships where we kind of fall asleep and maybe we we're in love or we had a connection. And it needs to be nurtured, you know. You just because you fall in love doesn't mean you're going to be there forever and ever, you know.
Right.
And I find it really, the communication is really important, because if you really are in love with someone, that means you're close. And when you're close, that means friction, you know.
Sure.
And if there's friction, then, you know, and irritation, the best way to deal with that is to really look at the other person and try to talk through things. And so I think maybe the best relationships are the ones that are really based on that kind of, you know, willingness to tell the truth and the willingness to, you know, to communicate what's really going on with you.
And that takes a lot of courage, because I think that most of us, you know, have a tendency to hide from the truth within the context of relationships,
sure,
to not cause the friction, to
right,
not face aspects of ourselves. Whatever the reasons, we tend to not embrace the truth and share it, which is a huge thing to do within the context of a relationship.
Yeah, and that again is you know, fear of, well, you know, we all have a little, that fear of confrontation,
mm-hmm,
and, you know, fear of being rejected.
Right.
And those are the things, I think, ultimately, you know, if you're really in love and you really want to create a strong bond with someone, you have to learn how to be a truth teller and tell people, you know, tell the person how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean you have to be, you know, blatant and blunt and,
sure,
you know, and, but there's ways to, you know, in a relationship that you can speak, I think, that is with loving kindness, you know, and sometimes, you know, you need to kind of ask for the, you know, the highest good for whatever, you know, whatever challenge you might be going through. And
right,
I know I've really, you know, have been confronted with that in this new relationship, and I've been really dedicated to being, because I know when it feels right. We all know when it feels right.
Sure.
It's a vibrational thing. And if it doesn't feel right, then it's time to, even if you just say, you know, I don't know what's going on, but, you know, what's happening with you? Is there something we need to talk about? Or,
mm-hmm,
and it's not always easy for men, you know,
because right,
they don't want to, most men I know anyway, are reluctant really to talk about their feelings. And I've learned, it's taken years for me to get to that point,
uh-huh,
but now I'm good with all that, you know? And it seems, I hope it's not a stereotype, but it seems that women are much more at ease talking about how they feel.
Sure.
So I think
and probably, but probably a little less comfortable with confrontation sometimes.
Well, I think so. I think that's true, and that's something we have to kind of slowly, I think, try to learn how to, you know, how to confront without doing it maybe aggressively, you know,
mm-hmm,
and try to be a little more, maybe a little more direct.
Right.
I think some of us beat around the bush a little too much. And sometimes a guy doesn't, you know, you just need to, you got to tell them what you're thinking, because
uh-huh,
they just sometimes cannot second guess.
Yeah.
Unless they're very intuitive, so.
Right.
Yeah. It's an age old problem, isn't it?
It is. It absolutely is. And yet it feels like we're going through some transformations right now.
I think so. You know, there's more, I mean, on the woo-woo side, I think there's more available light,
mm-hmm,
for all of us to tap into since, you know, 2012 and that whole thing that we've gone through.
Right.
So I think it's kind of working both ways. I think a lot of our worst case scenarios are being played out in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have the opportunity for some of the best, some of the best and highest things to be played out too. So
sure, and I think we learn a lot from the contrast.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's a pretty wild time to be here on planet Earth.
It is. It absolutely is. So you know, you talked about becoming more comfortable with your feelings as a man raised in this culture, where you know probably by the time many boys are like 3, 4, 5, they're taught it's not okay to cry. You know, basically
right,
stuff those emotions. How did you make that transition into becoming comfortable with the feelings that flow through you?
Well, I have to thank mostly the women in my life that have, you know, over the different relationships and things that have confronted me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think through just the pain of not being forthcoming, you know,
uh-huh,
I slowly learned my lessons and learning. It's like, oh, it's okay to open up and it's okay to be emotional.
Mm-hmm.
I guess on my side, being an artist and a musician, I actually have had an outlet for my music. For my emotions to be, worked through. So a lot of my music has come out of some of these more painful things.
Sure.
And that really, to me, one of the main goals of art is to transform pain mm-hmm. into beauty, you know. And that really has been my process of even when I didn't think I was sad or I was having mm-hmm. some sort of emotional stuff, it would come through in my music.
Uh-huh. So it got expressed one way or another.
Yeah. So I've been lucky. I've been very fortunate to have an outlet, you know, to express some of these things that maybe I haven't been able to really express in words or,
uh-huh.
you know, or in communication in my relationships. But so, yeah, I guess it's just been a matter of having luckily enough to, you know, having some really strong partners over the years that have helped me kind of get through that.
Mm-hmm.
And so now finally, I think I'm I'm doing pretty well, but I wish I would have known some of these things when I was in my 20s.
Yeah, and yet it's all perfect, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. Right.
So, David, how do our listeners connect with you and find out more about, your events as well
sure.
as your music?
Sure. Well, the direct communication is through davidlawns.com, and everything is there, all of my touring schedule, all of the, you know, various CDs and songbooks and downloads and I do these workshops, and there's a lot of information on my sites about the workshops and people's little testimonials about, you know, how it helped them in their music or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, I'm all over Facebook and Twitter and Google+ and
uh-huh.
most of the social media sites. So
okay, and again, it's David Lanz. It's LANZ.com.
Yes, LANZ as in zebra.
Uh-huh.
.com. So yeah, it's all there. I mean, all. And if you just can't remember that, just Google me, and you'll be in a world of thousands of pages of information on me. So
yeah. Well, we've got to go to another quick break, but when we return,
okay.
David, I'm going to want to chat with you a little bit about sacred geometry. When we
Love
come back
it.
Here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Get insider knowledge about everything that is going on at Transformation Talk Radio. Go to transformationtalkradio.com and enter your email to receive our newsletter. Stay updated on new hosts, inspiring guests, and good news articles from around the world. We look forward to having you join our community.
Tune in each Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the hit radio show that illuminates the heart-centered bond of animal and human as souls destined to find each other in a lifetime. Each week, this world-renowned animal communicator, through her live call-in show, will assist you in understanding animals as light beings, here to raise the vibrational level of this planet. They're ready. Are you?
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. Years ago, when facing cancer, without any immediate treatment options, I sought healing by making various life changes. For a while, I followed a very restrictive diet. I often found myself obsessing about which foods were good and which ones were bad. Then one day, I realized I was consuming foods based on fear of not getting well. But I didn't want to make choices out of fear anymore. I decided it was far better for my immune system if I allowed myself to experience the joy that came from, say, eating frozen yogurt, than it was for me to ingest the fear that came from avoiding it. Now, instead of choosing healthy habits based on fear, I try to make choices because they feel right and ultimately bring me joy and ease. How many of your healthy habits are really based on fear? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Having trouble keeping up with the accelerated, life-altering changes occurring on the planet? The Quantum Vortex is the brainchild of Meg Benedicte, a pioneer in quantum healing and energetic activations. Weaving together ancient spiritual knowledge, quantum physics, and vibrational healing, Meg Benedicte is accelerating change at the cellular level. For more details on private sessions, meditation CDs, downloads, and teleseminars, visit NewEarthCentral.com.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show. I'm here talking with musician David Lanz, and we're listening to some of his beautiful music from his latest album, Movement of the Heart. Now, David, before break, you know, I promised we were going to talk a little bit about sacred geometry. Now, can you please tell us how you ended up making this connection with sacred geometry and connecting that to music?
Well, the first connection, which actually has continued for a number of years, was through a friend of mine, Gary Harden. I worked with him on I was hired to do a soundtrack for a New York Times best-selling book called The Messengers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a beautiful book. And Gary was one of the, there was actually two writers that came in to write the story of this guy named Nick Bunick, who had claimed to be St. Paul. Anyway, mm-hmm. That's a whole long story. But in the process of meeting Gary, he had been kind of a fan of my music, and we started talking about how sacred geometry fit into vibration and sound and all these things. And Gary's not only a mathematician, but he was trained as a Catholic monk.
Uh-huh.
And then he, you know, that didn't work out for him after a number of years. And he's very astute. He's like one of the most intellectual mystics I've ever met. He really understands. And because of his background in math, it's kind of grounded in this, you know, real science. And so he's, the things this guy does and knows is pretty amazing. Anyway, we created, he started talking to me about, you know, the chakras.
Uh-huh.
And I had done, my first album was called Heart Sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And I had seven songs that were kind of based on the chakras. And it's kind of a linear way of looking at music and numbers. You start with middle C, which is the first chakra, and mm-hmm. then you just go C, D, E, F, G, A, B. So there's seven notes, and each one represents, you know, you start with the lower chakra, and then you go to the various seven chakras. You end up at the crown chakra.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure some of your listeners understand, you know, this information's been around. Well, it's been around for thousands of years
sure.
for the Hindus, but that's very linear, and Gary's one day told me, he says, well, you know, the angels view the chakras from a different level, and they don't look that way. And I went, what are you talking about?
Interesting.
So he started to kind of tell me a little bit about sacred geometry, and it's I don't really claim to know much about it.
Uh-huh.
But after our conversation, and I was able to ascertain a different scale based on how he was explaining how the, you know, from an angelic perspective.
Uh-huh. So kind of an angelic scale.
Yeah. So I came up with what I called an angel scale. I think there's some information on my site about this.
Mm-hmm.
And on one of my albums, A Cup of Moonlight, I concocted a piece called Heaven and Earth. And it's almost a 10-minute piece based on this scale. And I kept taking the scale, and I just did these different permutations and altered. Every time I played through the seven notes, it got altered just slightly.
Uh-huh.
And it turned out to be a really beautiful meditational piece. And Gary said he used it for quite a few years in these different workshops. And he said it cleared people's chakras out just by uh-huh. listening to it. And so we started there. And that was probably almost, you know, maybe 7 to 10 years ago.
Right.
And then recently, He's also works with my brother, Gary Launce, who produces my records and does a lot of engineering on my recordings.
Uh-huh.
And my brother came to me and said he'd been having a conversation with Gary, and they kind of copied me in these emails. And Gary Harden had crunched the numbers on frequencies, you know. And, uh-huh. and when in Western music, everything is referenced to this called to A440. And that all that means is if you look at a piano, you've got a middle C.
Uh-huh.
If you go down a couple notes, you find A below the middle C.
Right.
And that note is tuned to 440 hertz.
Right.
And then everything is referenced from there. And that's how all of the, you know, all of the Western music that we've been hearing all our lives, all the orchestras and the pianos and the guitars and such, start with A440, and then everything is tuned at that frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gary found out by just raising that four numbers to 444,
right,
which also ends up being this number that people call the angelic number, the angel number.
Sure.
There's enough change in the frequencies that it starts to have a different effect on us, kind of psychoacoustically.
Uh-huh.
And what's kind of fun for me is I thought this was great, and I went, wow, let's try this. And it doesn't really sound, it's very subtle. It doesn't change the tuning much.
Uh-huh.
Four cycles per second is, you can hear it, but it isn't that perceptive.
Uh-huh.
It isn't that obvious. So we did that. It took a while for my piano to hold that pitch because it had been tuned at 440 this for many years. And another good friend of mine, Chip Westerfield, who also does my engineering and editing, he's a skeptic, which is great. He's one of my best friends, and he's skeptical about everything.
We need skeptics in our lives, don't we?
What's that?
We need skeptics in our lives.
We do. It's good, because those, you know, sometimes those are the people that really, once they get a sense of something, they really have a strong kind of transformation, you know.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, with my friend Chip, you know, he rolled his eyes when I said, I'm going to tune the piano at 444. Uh-huh. And he says, yeah, you and your brother are out there and whatever. And,
sure.
You know, but when he heard the piano and the recording, he went, you know what? It sounds better. It sounds, you know, he said, I can't put my finger on it, but I know that it sounds, it isn't that it sounds, it's not drastic, but there's something about the sound. So I think what Chip was experiencing was that he was having some sort of a reaction to the frequencies that just felt better to him.
Mm-hmm.
And in the case of my particular piano, it did sonically make it sound better. It kind of tightened up the harmonics, and it made my brother's job a lot easier, because once I had recorded this, my new album, you know, the Movements of the Heart, he takes the music or the raw recordings, and he does, he deals with it, the equalization, and kind of has to mix the sound.
Sure.
To make it sound good, so it comes through speakers sounding the right way. And it was, his job was much easier. So, yeah.
Fascinating.
Anyway, so,
fascinating.
So this,
well, you know,
as far as I know, this is the first piano record that's been recorded at 444. And I've been telling some of my friends about it, some other piano players. So
uh-huh.
They all want to record at 444 now.
That's great. That's
great. Could be the new thing, you know.
Well, you know, David, this hour has just flown by. First of all, can you remind our listeners how they can get in touch with you and connect with your music?
Yes. Well, my website, davidlawns.com, lots of information. And at the bottom of the homepage, they can connect to Facebook and Twitter and iTunes and YouTube. I've got, I don't know, 12 or 13,000 videos of my music on YouTube. And
yeah,
you can waste weeks on YouTube listening to me.
it's beautiful music. And, you know, I know that it's touched the lives of millions of people on the planet. And it's definitely touched my life and helped me sort of shift my journey and become more of who I'm meant to be. And I want to thank you personally, and thank you for, you know, what you give to the world.
Thanks, Christine. Thank you. I really enjoyed our time talking today.
Great. Thanks so much. Now, just a couple of announcements. There are a couple of really exciting events coming up. In October at Stellar Reflections, we're going to be teaching how to facilitate the 111 activation. Also in November 16th, Dr. Joe Dispenza and Greg Braden are going to be joining together to help you to get your shift together And there are links from my website and on their websites as well. So please join us at both events. Next week, we're going to be talking about Your Spacious Self with Stephanie Bennett Vogt.
Been listening to the Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com. TransformationTalkRadio.com. On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
The Tick-Borne Disease Alliance, TBDA, has just launched Bite Back for a Cure, a new national grassroots campaign to build support for the fight against tick-borne diseases. This fall, 24-year-old John Donnelly is biking across America to meet others affected by tick-borne diseases and raise awareness about the national tick-borne disease epidemic. TBDA wants you to get involved in the campaign and follow John's journey. To learn more, visit bitebackforacure.org.
What would you do if you knew that you could not fail? The Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile is a radio forum for some of the world's most influential people in the fields of health, wellness, and human potential. Dr. Pat brings together and introduces visionary scientists and futurists, environmentalists, educators, business leaders, inventors, filmmakers, authors, artists, mystics, and healers who inspire and support individual and collective growth and positive cultural shifts. This award-winning radio show empowers the listening community to be the change they want to see in the world. Tune in to the Voice America Empowerment Channel every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern for the Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile, radio to thrive by.
Get insider knowledge about everything that is going on at Transformation Talk Radio. Go to TransformationTalkRadio.com and enter your email to receive our newsletter. Stay updated on new hosts, inspiring guests, and good news articles from around the world. We look forward to having you join our community.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
You are listening to Transformation Talk Radio, the home of some of the world's most inspiring talk radio hosts. Please stay tuned at the top of the hour. We will be bringing you another amazing, educational, and inspiring show to get you on the path to transforming your life. For more information about us, please visit our website, www.transformationtalkradio.com. That's www.transformationtalkradio.com.